Welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show. We put the spotlight of truth upon this culture of death, and we consider ourselves like a lighthouse amidst the gathering storm. What's one of our tactics? We've got to pray America great again. Yes, we've got to pray America great again. This is the Terry and Jesse Show. My name is Jesse Romero, the Latin lover of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Latin lover of Our Lady, and I'm on duty. What about you,
Terry? Terry Barber, the Lebanese lover of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And Jess, I just got to say, I'm on duty. I went up to Tehachapi to meet the sisters, the Norbertine sisters. There's about 25 Norbertines, cloistered nuns, praying for Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
Thank you, Jesus.
And, you know, I was visiting with them, and I went to go check on a friend that I brought up there. And I was in the visiting room, and one of the young nuns, she's like 26 years old. The average age are in their 20s and 30s, Jess. They're young. And the little girl says, she's a full-habited nun now. She says, excuse me, are you Mrs. Barber? I said, yeah. She tells me who she is. I saw her as a little 2 or 3 year old girl coming to Mass. And now she's a full, you know, habited nun praying for the church. And Jess, I got to tell you, I also met a former attorney. She was 35 years old as an attorney, and she turned her life around and become a Catholic nun, and she's on fire for praying for us. It just gave me such inspiration to Justin think about the world's chaos and that we have these prayer warriors. I call them warriors. Yeah, they're prayer warriors praying for us. And it was a great weekend for me. It motivated me. It gave me a big shot in the arm. But
Terry,
Justin,
I'm also motivated myself this weekend. I went to a high level.
Yeah.
It was a personal retreat for me.
Yeah.
You had, you know, high level people there from Church Militant, LifeSite News,
sure,
the Ponto Institute.
Yeah.
Some of the great Catholic apostolates out there that are
awesome,
that are really on the cutting edge,
yeah,
of podcasting and putting out news articles and trying to put out the truth. We all gather together for a time of prayer, for Mass, the sacraments, and also inspirational talks. In fact, you Skyped in and you fired up the audience there as well.
That's funny.
So it was to me, it was a much needed boost in the arm.
Yeah, we need it
for me personally.
Well, we need it. That's why we consider Virgin Most Powerful. We hope that that's what we do for you, because we're living in tough times and we need, you know, show me your friends and I'll tell you who you are.
That's
and
right.
So hang with us, folks. Hey, Jess, yeah, today's shows are amazing. I mean, I almost feel like, is this science fiction? Because we're going to be talking about scientists who are creating early embryos that are part human and part monkey. Are you kidding me? Yeah, the Nazis tried to do that in World War II. I remember reading about that, but we're at that point now. Also, this is sad. It's a Vatican healthcare conference that's going to host, are you ready? Anthony Fauci, Chelsea Clinton, and other crazy, you know, people who are on the other side on all moral issues that we have. I just don't quite get it, but I want to also mention there's a petition asking the Vatican to cancel the healthcare conference featuring, you know, abortion activists. So you can go to LifeSite News and sign it like I am, and I know Jesse's going to be signing that. And then we're going to be coming up with another one, Becoming an Informed Catholic, the Pope's Health Forum Parade regarding some of the New Age stuff. We have to speak up, because I have to tell you, the only things get really worse, really bad, is when good people do nothing. But I want to end the show, Jess, with some really exciting news. A relic of Blessed Carlo Acutis is going to make a tour of schools, not just in Argentina. I think they're going to go worldwide. And his whole focus is the Eucharist. And I'll tell you, we need that more than ever. But before we do any of the talking on these, I want to bring some soul food in, Jess, and that's your part.
Today's gospel, John chapter 10, verses 1 to 10.
Mm-hmm.
Speak, Lord, your servants are listening. Our Lord says, this section is called Jesus the Good Shepherd.
Yep.
And by the way, I think it was yesterday's psalm at Mass. It said,
it was Good Shepherd Sunday.
Yeah. Yesterday's psalm was, do not put your trust in princes.
Yep.
Do not put your trust in men.
Yep.
Boy, oh boy. Hey, should we ever take that to heart?
Hey, Jesse, before you do the gospel reading, because it was Good Shepherd Sunday, and I just want to throw something at all of our listeners. I was blown away. Our pastor told me about pastors as Jesus is the Good Shepherd. And, you know, we always talk about King David and the five, you know, Goliath and the five stones. Does anybody know how dangerous being a shepherd it was back at the time of Christ? Do you know that that there were lions, there were all kinds of wild beasts going after those sheep, and those guys were there to protect the sheep. And think about it, Jess, and I'm going to make the analogy. People think of Jesus as being, oh, he's just such a nice guy. Are you kidding me? He's the good shepherd. He's the sheep gate. He's the guy that's going to protect us from the wolves. And guess what? I'm just making the comment, Jess, that our bishops are also shepherds. And what's happened is we need to be praying harder for our shepherds, because many of the shepherds have been going, you know, they're not watching the sheep. You know what they're doing? They're getting into worldly things. It's happened before in the church history, so it's not something new. So let's get that reading of John down, Jeff.
They're open gates. Many of our shepherds are open gates. They're letting the wolves in.
Yep.
And John chapter 10, verses 1 to 10. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, mm-hmm. but it climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber.
Yep.
But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. That's, by the way, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
To him the gatekeeper opens, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of the strangers. This figure Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not heed them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. That's a reference to Satan. So what does Satan do? Steal, kill, and destroy. Our Lord says, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly, the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
So what is the sheepfold? This was a stone wall that enclosed the single entryway that protect the flocks at night from the thieves and predators. And as Terry said, being a shepherd was dangerous, because King David even says when he was a shepherd, he fought a lion a bear and beat them with his bare hands. So a lion and a bear tried to attack the sheep, and David beat them with his bare hands.
I wouldn't want to mess with them.
Yeah, so it was not an easy job at all. So what else do we know about this sheepfold? Yeah. Well, the sheepfold, only the shepherd would be recognized and admitted by the designated gatekeeper. Notice also our Lord talks a lot about by name. That means that there's an intimacy between you and Christ, and there's a familiarity when you hear his voice, because you have an intimate relationship with him, because you live in a state of grace. You know it's him. And he also talks about leading them out. What does that mean? Well, the sheep are disciples who hear the voice of Jesus, and they follow our Lord wherever he goes. So the expression to lead out, this reminds us of the Old Testament in the book of Joshua, where he was appointed to lead Israel out of the wilderness in Numbers 27. And also this reminds us in the Old Testament in the book of Ezekiel 34, where Yahweh, God, promised to recover the lost sheep of Israel by leading them out of their exile among the nations. So our Lord uses the same term, lead them out of what? Lead them out of exile. And in verse 6, where it says that they don't understand Jesus, what does this mean? That's a reference to the Pharisees. They're blind to the spiritual dimension of Jesus' teaching. It could be diabolical blindness, like St. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4:4. And also in verse 8, where our Lord says, all who came before, this refers to the shepherds of Israel. And many of these shepherds before Jesus were denounced by the prophets as worthless and evil. You see Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Zechariah denouncing a lot of the prophets before Christ as worthless and as evil. In other words, these worthless shepherds, they were spiritual descendants of the Pharisees. And finally, our Lord says that he wants to give us life and life abundantly. That's just another way of saying he wants to give us divine life or eternal life, which comes through Jesus Christ, specifically through the Eucharist. Terry?
And remember, the readings from Sunday's Mass, no one is saved except through Jesus Christ. I know that Jesse and I might be talking about Bishop Barron's comments over Sunday's Mass, where he tried to explain a different approach than what the church teaches. I mean, Bishop Barron's got a lot of good things, but just when a bishop says something that's not consistent with the perennial teachings of the church, I'm going to call him on it every time.
And I never listened to his homily, so I wouldn't know what he said.
Yeah, well, I have it on. I'll send it to you. But basically, he's trying to explain that somehow people can be saved without the Catholic Church, and that's just not what the church teaches. I'm sorry to have to correct a bishop. I hate to do that, Jess. But
well, I know this. I did see what he said to the Jewish conservative, young Jewish conservative.
Yeah, I can't think of his name, but I knew you were talking. But this was regarding the first reading of Mass.
Okay, well, I know when he was asked by Ben Shapiro.
Yeah, Ben Shapiro.
Hey, I'm a Jew, Bishop Barron. I keep kosher and I keep the laws of Moses. Am I going to heaven? Do I need to believe in Jesus? And Bishop Barron says, well, Jesus is the privileged way.
This is what we're going to talk about Friday on Bible with the Barbers. We're going to cover that. Hey, when we come back, we'll get Fulton Sheen in here. He'll be talking about who should you go to for advice in the church today. He's like, Bishop Sheen's alive today. We'll be back with more. Stay with us on the Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Can you believe this?
Jesse, before you do it, I want to make sure I bring Fulton Sheen in.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, Paul Sheenhead, our engineer, knows Terry and Jesse so well. Folks, you want to laugh at Terry and Jesse? We're two guys that are so focused on our show to share the gospel that many times we just have to get corrected by our engineer. And we're good with that. No biggie.
That's right.
Okay, let's bring in Bishop Sheen on advice. And Jess, this is so powerful. I took this advice and I found it to be very effective. Sheen says, whenever one is in trouble and whenever one should never go to advice to someone who's never says his prayers or has not passed through some suffering. So Jess, you know me, when we talk about counseling, we never send anybody to a counselor who's not a prayer warrior or someone who understands the faith and Thomistic principles of therapy. And so Bishop Sheen is saying, if they haven't suffered, don't go to them because they're not going to give you good advice. And you know what, Jess, in my short time on earth, I have found that to be very true.
Amen.
Yep. All right, let's get it.
Words of wisdom.
Yep.
So, there are these Frankenstein scientists
give me a break.
Who are creating early embryos that are part human, part monkey.
Yep.
And this is where the left is going now. For the first time, scientists have created embryos that are a mix of human and monkey cells. This is complete Frankenstein unethical science. Mm-hmm. And the embryos described Thursday in the journal Cell were created in part to try to find new ways to produce organs for people who need transplants, and the international team of scientists who collaborated in the work. But the research raises a variety of concerns. So Kirsten Matthews, a fellow for science and technology at Rice University's Baker Institute, said, my first question is why?
Yeah.
I think the public is going to be concerned, and I am as well, that we're just kind of pushing forward with science without having a proper conversation about what we should or should not do, close quote. But again, still, these godless scientists who conducted the research and some other liberal godless bioethicists are defending the experiment. Here is one professor in the Gene Expression Laboratory of the Salk Institute for Biological Sciences in La Jolla, California.
Near San Diego. Mm-hmm.
His name is Juan Carlos Belmonte. He says this, quote, this is one of the major problems in medicine, organ transplantation.
Mm-hmm.
The demand for that is much higher than the supply. And you have another scientist by the name of Enzo Hyen. He's a bioethicist at Case Western Reserve University and Harvard. He says this, quote, I don't see this type of research being ethically problematic It's aimed at lofty humanitarian goals. Terry, the left, they will experiment with embryos and aborted fetuses.
Sure.
And this is, you know, always within with you know, using the mantra, oh, we're trying to, you know, find a cure for this, that, and the other. But you know what, Terry? This is just to continue perpetuating the abortion industry. That's all it is.
And you know, Jesse, I'll continue on, but I'll just say this. These are the same people, if I said, I can generate a pill for you to take and you're going to live another 100 years, but it means killing, you know, 50,000 people per person. They would say, that's fine, let's do it. See, because they have no sacredness of life. Now, but so far, this approach hasn't worked, he says. So Bomonti teamed up with the scientists in China. Now, there you go. China's been working on this for a while. I've read other articles about that. And elsewhere, trying something different. The researchers injected 25 cells known as induced pluripotent cells from the humans, commonly called iPS cells, into the embryos from monkeys, which are much more closely genetically related to humans than are sheep and pigs. That's not saying much. Hmm. After one day, the researchers reported that they were able to detect human cells growing in 132 of the embryos and were able to study the embryos up to 19 days. That enabled the scientists to learn more about how animal cells and human cells communicate, an important step towards eventually helping researchers find new ways to grow organs and transplants into other animals, Beaumont said. Jess, let me just mention something. Constantly, all my lifetime, they've been saying we got to find the fountain of youth. Right. We've got to bat because you know what their game plan is? That this is it. Life is only here on planet Earth, and so anything that can extend that life, I'm willing to do, no matter what, even if it means killing people. Like for example, to make a vaccine. I'll say it, a vaccine. And if it means killing babies to get that vaccine, that's okay. And I see this in the same mentality, Jess. I'm sorry. That's how I see it.
Yeah, that's what the whole vax movement's all about, Terry. It's just to continue to justify to the Biden and liberal Democrats, we need to continue abortion. Why? We need more vaxes.
Exactly.
We need more vaxes. We need to save lives. So we need, come on, you know, keep on putting those babies, you know, through the meat grinder because, hey, we need more vaxes. They finally found a way to try to justify with false science the whole abortion industry.
Yeah.
The article says here, Belmonte, another scientist, says this.
He's teamed up.
This knowledge will allow us to go back now to try to re-engineer these pathways that are successful for allowing appropriate development of human cells in these other animals. We are very, very excited. See, this is what you get when you have a leftist with a PhD.
Yeah.
They start practicing, not science, Terry.
No,
they start practicing Frankenstein science.
That's right.
The article says, such mixed species embryos are known as chimeras, named for the fire-breathing creature from Greek mythology that's part lion, part goat, and part snake. By the way, it's interesting, all three symbols of Satan in the New Testament.
Yeah, that, I noticed that too.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
Our goal, says this liberal scientist Belmonte, he says, our goal is not to generate any new organism, and we're not doing anything like that. We're trying to understand how cells from different organisms communicate with one another. In addition, Belmonte says he hopes this kind of work could lead to new insights into early human development, aging, and
you
the underlying
aging.
Causes
you
of cancer
it?
And other disease.
Yep.
Yeah, the left, Carrie, they've got this fascination with living forever. And I'll tell you, Jesus has told us how that will happen. But again, that sounds too simplistic for them. They're saying, are you kidding me? The Catholic Mass, the sacraments, the Holy Eucharist, are you kidding me? There's got to be something way beyond that. And we scientists are going to figure it out with billions of dollars that we're going to pump into this.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's very simple. It's called the humility of God in the Holy Eucharist, receiving it every Sunday, and the Holy Days of Obligation in a state of grace will give you eternal life. Save your billions of dollars.
Well said, Jesse. This work, he says, is so important step to providing compelling evidence that someday, here it comes, when we understand fully what the process is, we could make them develop into a heart or a kidney or a lung, said Dr. Jeffrey Platt.
Another lefty.
Yeah, a professor of microbiology and immunology at the University of Michigan, to which is doing related experiments but not involved in the new research. Jesse, here's the bottom line. This article is very important. You can get it from virginmostpowerfulradio.org or jesseromero.com. But this scientific work and the possibilities of it opens a serious questions for ethicists. The biggest concern, they say, is someone could try to take this work further and attempt to make a baby out of an embryo made this way. Jesse, they've been working on this for years. I've read articles about this. Specifically, the critics worry that human cells could become part of a developing brain of such an embryo and the brain of a resulting animal. Basically, Jesse, we're playing God, okay? This is what the scientists are trying to do. We want to be able to have our life here on planet Earth land forever. And we've got to just figure out this process of aging, and we'll start reversing it. And then, you know what? We decide who lives and who dies. Now, this is a very serious matter that we're looking at, but let's just face it, Jess, without any morals, if we have no more morals, anything goes. And right now you're seeing the best of that and the worst of it.
Were these liberal scientists, the next move that they're moving into,
yep,
they're moving into also what's called transhumanism.
Yep, that's it.
Which means what they want to do is they want to make machines, that's robots, right, with human body parts as well. Kind, yep, of like we saw back in the 1980s. And I laughed at those movies. I thought they were entertaining. Right. The Terminator movies with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah.
This is exactly where these scientists are now moving towards as well. Not only this trying to make a human-animal hybrid, but also a human-robot hybrid. And this is what happens when you live in a world without God.
A
secular humanist world, a world where there's a moral relativism and atheism.
Yeah.
This is what happens. These people start thinking that they can play God. Here's the meat of the article.
Get it.
This liberal scientist, Hank Greeley from Stanford,
said
he hopes the work will spur a more general debate about how far scientists should be allowed to go.
Let's
with
keep
this
pushing
kind of
the
research.
Envelope, buddy.
Oh, yeah. He said this: I don't think we're on the edge of beyond the Planet of the Apes. I think rogue scientists are few and far between, but they're not zero, the scientist Greeley said.
Yep.
So I do think it's an appropriate time for us to start thinking about, should we ever let these go beyond a Petri dish? Close quote. So for several years, the National Institutes of Health has been weighing the idea of lifting a ban on funding for this kind of research, but has been waiting for new guidelines. Oh, trust me, they'll get them with Biden.
Oh, yeah.
Which are expected to come out next month. Oh, I was right. From the International Society for Stem Cell Research.
Oh, yeah.
So the notion of using organs for animals for transplants has long raised concerns about spreading viruses from animals to humans. Terry, this is exactly where we're at right now.
Yeah.
And this is why it's very hard to be a Catholic or even a Protestant, a believing Protestant, and be a medical doctor right now, because when they start telling the truth, guess what happens to them? Many of them are losing their jobs,
that's right,
or getting canceled on tech media.
Yep.
When they're putting out the truth of science, they simply get canceled. And so this is an undeniable truth that I've known for a long time now, that the scientific and the medical community has been hijacked and politicized and weaponized by the left. And right now, it's sad to say that I'm at the point, Terry, where I don't trust scientists and doctors 100% any longer.
Of course not. You shouldn't. And you know what, Jesse, in China, they haven't had any rules. They're free for all. They've been trying this for years, and they're going to continue to try it. I'm going to say this: as Catholics, we need to pray for the world to be converted, and we need to be having this relationship with Jesus Christ right now, where we are praying and we're living in the presence of God and we're living a holy life. Because some people will look at it and say, well, what can we do? Well, you can do a lot with your prayers and also living and speaking up for the gospel values. We have to stop being quiet. This is the time to speak up. I think I read, Jesse, that 75% of Republicans are afraid to speak out at work or at home or in work environment because they're afraid of losing their jobs. I'm sorry, Jess. This is the time. They're coming after us, and we need to speak the truth in charity and clarity. Jess, when we come back, you pick this other topic. It's a crazy topic. Vatican Healthcare Conference will host Anthony Fauci. Tell me that's not true, Jesse. and Chelsea Clinton's coming? Tell me that's not true.
Pinch yourself. It's true.
Oh. All right. Yep. We'll be back because we're going to arm ourselves with the gospel. Yep. We'll be back with more on the Terry and Jesse Show.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
I'm scratching my head here because back in 2003, the Pontifical Council for Culture, they condemned the New Age movement and New Age spirituality. Yeah, this was the Vatican document. And now, is in 2021, now the Vatican is having a New Age conference.
Unbelievable.
After having condemned New Age spirituality back in 2003, I'm just pinching myself. And I'm appalled, Terry, by this story, and I'm sure you are as well.
I am too, Jesse.
Terry, you're somebody who's been putting on conferences for 30 years.
Yeah.
And I can tell you, this is not a Catholic conference.
No, it's not. It's scandalous.
The Vatican Healthcare Conference will host Dr. Anthony Fauci, Chelsea Clinton, and the leaders of Big Pharma, giants Moderna and Pfizer, at their healthcare conference next month. And you don't believe me, just look it up online.
Yep.
If you don't believe me. And here's the problem is that this healthcare conference, the Pope is behind this. Okay, it's all being done with his permission. They're parading all these New Age whack jobs, Terry, all these New Age gurus.
Oh yeah.
And so the Vatican's conference on global health, why don't they do a conference on evangelization and invite you?
How to get to heaven.
How to live in a state of grace.
Yes.
What, are you kidding me? A conference on how to wash your hands and put masks? So you have all these celebrity lineup, highly controversial speakers.
Scandalous.
Many of them are pro-abortion.
Yeah.
They promote pansexuality.
Right.
Some of these guys are Hindu Vedic. They promote the Hindu Vedic meditation.
Yeah.
Other ones are just New Age gurus. Others promote yoga, alternative medicine. You got pro-abortionist Chelsea Clinton.
Oh, no.
She's going to be speaking there.
Yeah.
Chelsea Clinton, by the way, back in 2018, she was tweeting back and forth.
Here it is.
To the Church of Satan.
Yeah. Okay?
And they caught her, and all she said is, hey, you know, we all have friends from different organizations. Doesn't mean we agree with them. Well, I don't know about you, Terry, but I've never texted or tweeted or emailed anybody from the Church of Satan, okay? Yeah, go ahead, Terry.
No, just I'm at the finger. I'm just blown away by this whole ordeal. And again, the idea that we, and this is sometimes a modernist approach where we can learn from our people, from our brothers who have from different perspectives. And you know what I say to that, Jess? You know what? I might be able to learn about tying shoes or doing something like how to fix a car. Okay, I get all that. But when it comes to moral teachings, you're asking, you know what you're doing? You're bringing Satan into the party and saying, well, you know what? We don't want to exclude anybody. Well, you know what, Jesse? I do want to exclude people who are evil. Okay? That's what I'm just saying. You don't bring them into your house and you don't bring them into an event like this. So many people who see this, you have to forget, you have to remember the scandal that this is causing. This is going to cause people to undermine the Catholic Church, and and I say to the Holy Father, with all due respect, bad decision, prudential decision. Please, we pray for you and all bishops and priests on Thursday nights, but we need to step up our prayer, because I'm going to pray for the Holy Father to take and sign the petition that LifeSite News is saying and say, look, we need to cancel this event. We made a big mistake, and it can happen with our prayers. But I just find this so appalling, Jesse, as someone who wants to live a Christ-centered life, and I'm having my leaders take me away from Christ and into worldliness and also into evil ideas. And evil, I mean, talking about abortion is evil. No other way to describe it. I'm done.
Yeah, well, some of the speakers here at the conference are Dr. Scott Hahn, Dr. Ralph Martin. No, joking. I'm just joking. No.
Of course you are.
Yeah. None of those people are invited.
They don't want to talk about Jesus. You see, this is the big problem, Jesse. This has nothing to do with Jesus Christ. The mandate that has been given to Jesus Christ, he's given to the church to a pass on. We call it the perennial teachings of the church. The bishops, the pope, the priests, even us, Jesse, we have a job to pass on the perennial teachings of the Catholic Church. We have no job to bring modernists, New Age people, people who have totally opposition to our morals into a conference. This is totally wrong, and I condemn it.
Yeah, we condemn it in the strongest words. Here are some of the secular humanists that are going to be speaking at the conference.
Yeah.
You got New Age guru,
yeah,
Deepak Chopra. You have a Buddhist.
I got a picture of him.
By the name of Thubten Jinpa.
Yeah, tell us about him, man. He's crazy.
Yeah, you got a Sufi spiritualist called Asim Yusuf.
Mm-hmm.
You had the former lead guitarist for Aerosmith, Joe Perry.
Okay, excuse me. Tell me, what the heck is he doing there to talk about anything about my Catholic faith? I'm just asking the question. I'm almost thinking I woke up in a bad dream, Jess.
You got Mormon elder William Jackson. You got self-declared atheist and psychologist Paul Bloom. Again, you got pro-abortionist and friend of the Church of Satan, Chelsea Clinton. The Vatican's also invited the Pfizer CEO, Albert Bourla, and Moderna CEO, Stefan Bonsall. Both of these big pharma companies are manufacturing the Wuhan virus experimental vaccines. They also invited the chief medical advisor to the U.S. president and Mr. Lockdown Zealot, Dr. Anthony Fauci, and other controversial speakers that have no medical credentials include pro-LGBT supermodel Cindy Crawford. You also have Emma Bloomberg, daughter of billionaire former New York City mayor Michael Bloomberg. All I could say, Terry, is, well, follow the money.
Yeah, show me who your friends and I'll tell you who you are. Jesse, the participants, yeah, this is right from the Pontifical Council for Culture, said this. And I go, what the heck? He says, participants will explore, okay? So bring all these people in. What are they going to do? Talk about tiddlywinks? No. They're going to explore the role of religion, faith, and spirituality.
Wow.
And the interplay of mind, body, and soul, and look for areas of convergence between the humanities and the natural sciences. Chief Conference Organizer, Pontifical Council for Culture, said. Jesse, you know what that statement reminds me of? The New Age movement. Sorry, that's what that says.
Terry, this is so disturbing for people of faith, for believing Catholics.
Yeah, repent and believe in the gospel. What happened to that?
Yeah, and I'll tell you, if you read the, over the weekend, I was reading the prophecies of Blessed Aunt Catherine.
Oh, yeah, from Dan. Yeah.
And Terry, here's what she says. I mean, here's just this one paragraph. This is happening right now. This is Blessed Catherine Ann Emmerich, yeah, by the way, who the last 12 years of her life, she received the stigmata, yeah, and she lived on the Eucharist
alone
for the last 12 years of her life. So, she says, May 13th, 1820, I also saw the relationship between the two popes. I saw how dangerous it would be, the consequences of this false church.
Mm.
I saw it increase in size. Heretics of every kind came into the city of Rome.
He's describing it.
She's describing this conference.
Of course.
She says, the local clergy grew lukewarm.
Yep.
And I saw a great darkness.
Yep.
Then the vision seemed to extend on every side. Whole Catholic communities were being oppressed, harassed, confined, and deprived of their freedom.
He's describing us.
He's describing the lockdowns right now in 1820.
Exactly.
She said, I saw many churches closed down. Describing right now.
Exactly.
Blessed Catherine Emmerich says, great miseries everywhere.
Yep.
Wars and bloodshed. A wild and ignorant mob took to violent action in the streets. Huh, she's describing Muslim terrorists. She's describing Antifa and Black Lives Matter.
Yep.
And she says, but it did not last long.
Good.
Yeah. Terry,
keep praying, folks. Yeah. Keep praying. Get down on your knees.
Yeah.
Reparation, atonement.
This weekend on my flight, I said, you know what? I need to go and start reading the actual prophecies, not from Medjugorje, you know, unapproved apparitions, yeah. not from, you know, Bayside or something. I want to read the prophecies of venerables, of blesseds and saints.
So good idea.
So I took my, and I just looked it up, Terry. My brain was popping in on the plane because everything these saints are saying, Blessed Maria Taigi, blessed Terry, it's happening right now. It's almost in detail. It's almost, and they didn't say it that long. Blessed Ann Cameron, she said this in 1820.
Yeah. Well, Fulton Sheen said the same thing, Jesse. Remember the book by Bishop Athanasius Snyder when he talks about the church and how it's a false church is going to come up. That was 1947. See, this is all happening.
Yeah, and here's the way Archbishop Vigano explains that.
Yeah.
Okay? Because we know that the gates of hell shall never prevail against the church. So how does Archbishop Vigano explain it? Okay? Think about the word host or overlay. Okay? Archbishop Vigano, it's in a letter that just came out on, we'll probably do it maybe tomorrow or the next day. He says that the false church is going to come over the true church, kind of like an umbrella, like a host, you know, like a cancer virus, and it attaches itself to a healthy organism. This is the way this false church is going to overlay the true church. In other words, the true church will still be there, but it's going to be just like Catherine of Emmerich says, oppressed, suppressed, confined, locked down.
Yep.
So it will be underneath this umbrella of this false church. And by the way, you know who else said that? In case you're thinking, Jesse, you're a nut. You're speaking put on the tinfoil hat.
Yeah.
Well, I invite you to read the 1948 speech from Archbishop Fulton Sheen, which is on
the
internet.
That's the one I'm talking about.
Which he talks about the conscience of communism.
Yeah.
And he says, if you look at what he said in 1948 and Archbishop Vigano right now, it's identical. So if you're going to say that Archbishop Vigano is crazy and a whack job, then you're going to have to say that about Fulton Sheen because they said the same thing about 50 years apart.
And you wonder why Fulton Sheen wasn't beatified? I know why. Because the man was telling the truth and there's people that just don't want to hear it. Hey, stay with us when we come back. We'll have more. And this is really to inspire you to pray harder, to do more reparation for Holy Mother of the Church.
Amen.
Because we need it right now. We don't need anybody sitting on the sidelines, man.
Nope.
Suit up here at the Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful. Stay with us and we'll have more information for you that will help you fall deeper in love with Jesus and His Church.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Jesse, you just are blowing a lot of people away with your quotes from Catherine Emmerich, Blessed Catherine Emmerich. I want to just remind people that Tan Books published that book years ago. So, Jesse, why don't you show it? Yeah, there you go. Catholic Prophecy. Okay, good. So let's continue, Brother Jess.
Terry, Dr. Luis Sandoval, High Information.
He's a good man.
Yeah, he just texted me something. Mm-hmm. The guy's got a double PhD, one in psychiatry, one in common sense.
Yeah,
So he's a double PhD. He said this, Jesse. I'm talking about this week on my show about the New Age movement. He said this is the stuff we see people in deliverance for when they get into transcendental stuff.
Yep.
He goes, our healing comes from Christ and the Eucharist. Trust the science, question the scientists. That's good. He says, trust the science, question the scientists. None of their leaders made miracles like Jesus did. He proved he is God. Thank you, Dr. Luis. Good comment. He says, because, Terry, you can't play with science.
Exactly. And his show is on Thursday, right after the Terry and Jesse
He said,
show.
But Dr. Lee says, question the scientist.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, because it's the people communicating the message that's false.
And okay? Jesse, you mentioned one more thing about Fulton Sheen. People are burning up with the phones right now. Are they texting me? Bishop Sheen wrote a book in 1948, Signs of the Times, or Sermons by Fulton Sheen. And he said this, that he will set up a counter church, which will be the ape of the church, because he, the devil, is the ape of God. It will have all the notes and the characteristics of a church, but in reverse, in the emptied of its divine content. Right now, it will be a mystical body of an antichrist that will, in all externals resemble the mystical body of Christ in a desperate need for God, whom he nevertheless refuses to adore. Modern man, in his loneliness and frustration, will hunger more and more for a membership in the community that will give him an enlargement of purpose, but at the cost of losing himself in some vague collectivity. So this is what Bishop Sheen said in 1948. So Jess, we're not management, but all these holy men and women are saying the same thing, brother.
Yeah, and so again, for those people that want to criticize Archbishop Vigano, what he's saying right now
about Sheen.
Yeah, then you may as well
condemn
Sheen, because him and Vigano are saying the exact same thing.
Pretty serious world we live in.
Yeah, Sheen was warning us, Terry, in a nutshell,
about
a counterfeit Catholicism.
Yeah.
He was already warning us 70 years ago about a counterfeit Catholicism.
Yep.
And I could just tell you, Terry, I think it's here.
Oh, it's pretty obvious. Think of what is happening. That's why, again, it's a repent and believe in the gospel. Don't leave Holy Mother the Church because of scandal, okay? Because these scandals are horrible, okay? But here's my point. Step up your prayer life. Step up, you know, living in the presence of God. Step up speaking up for God's teachings on you. And you know it. You are listeners. You're high information Catholics.
That's right. So let's talk about some good news here.
Yeah, let's get the good news in.
Yeah, this story
this is beautiful.
Will restore your faith in young people.
Absolutely. Okay?
The relic of Blessed Carlo Acutis is making a tour of schools in Argentina, hopefully throughout the entire world.
I hope so. What's the message? The Eucharist.
Yeah. This young 15-year-old who died of leukemia, he was a young Italian computer whiz, and he offered his suffering for the Pope and the church, and he was beatified last October at the Basilica of St. Francis of Assisi. So his whole mission in life as a young man was to use the computer to promote Eucharistic miracles.
Yep.
So, I mean, you could actually call him the cyber apostle of the Eucharist.
God love him.
Yeah, this is he just wanted the whole world to know that Jesus was truly present, body, blood, soul, and divinity in the Eucharist. And so thanks be to God, a relic of Blessed Carlo Acutis will be displayed for veneration on April 18th at a school in Cordoba, Argentina, marking the start of a tour of schools in that country, again, with the goal of making this young man known as the cyber apostle of the Eucharist. And so it's a first-class relic. It's going to be enthroned at the 11 a.m. Mass at the Via Eucharistic School, which is part of the FOSTA Educational Network. And, Terry, this is all I could tell you is that he put up an exhibition in his lifetime.
Yeah, he did.
And his exhibition consisted of 136 Eucharistic miracles from around the world.
Right.
And this was the result of 3 years of his life's research, compilation, and design by this young man. All I can say is, Blessed Carlo Acutis, pray for us.
And the school that's sponsoring it has a goal. And I love the goal, Jesse. It says, our goal is to become the center of praise and Eucharistic adoration open to all the faithful, but especially to the young people. Jesse, you and I both have seen that when young people fall in love with Jesus Christ in the Eucharist, they don't leave the church. They share that with other young people. Jess, we've been at youth rallies. I've been at World Youth Day too.
Yeah.
But I've seen thousands of young people on their knees before the Eucharistic King. And I'm going to tell you, Jess, as you know, we need more of that, because this is what brings people to the knowledge and love of Jesus Christ, being in the presence of the Holy Eucharist.
And this young man in his short life, he's probably did more in 15 years than most Catholics have done in 80 or 90
Let me just say,
think about it. Carlo Acutis died at the age of 15.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Now, Joe Biden is in his 80s and Nancy Pelosi in their 80s. My question is, at the judgment, who will have more treasure in their hands to show the Lord Jesus Christ? Who is going to be able to show that more, I put my hand to the plow, Lord, and I didn't look back? So it doesn't matter how long you live on planet Earth. What matters is the quality of your life. Carlo Acutis did not have a quantity in his life. He didn't live to 70 or 80 or 90, but his life at 15 had a lot of quality. The last 3 years, he totally lived for Jesus,
yep,
to promote the most important teaching in the world, that the God-man is present in the Holy Eucharist, feeding his people with the bread of life and preparing us for heaven.
He'll be the patron saint for Eucharistic adoration. I can guarantee you, Jesse, just like us today, when you've asked, I bet you $20 that this young man was asking different parishes to do Eucharistic adoration. He was told, oh, we don't do that anymore. Just like friends told me over the weekend, they're trying to promote Eucharistic adoration. And the pastor says, oh, that's old fashioned. We don't do that anymore. Here's the bottom line. This is a young man who's going to rejuvenate our love for the Holy Eucharist. This is what we just need right now. When you think about the lack of reverence, the lack of belief in the Holy Eucharist, this young man could be the instrument that God is using to bring back a belief in the real presence and a belief for reverence. And I want to say it right now, Jess. I hope that reverence goes over to just receiving Holy Communion kneeling and on the tongue, because I got to tell you, this idea of receiving communion in the hand, standing, has been tried for 60 years and it's been a total failure for belief in the real presence. This is a young man who's bringing us back to what we perennial believe about the Eucharist, that we actually believe it's the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ, and let's act like it.
Terry, this weekend I was with a bunch of very high information Catholics,
yeah,
and we were discussing the ideas. Why is it that we've seen since 1965 this whole Eucharist in the hand and standing up?
Yeah.
It's emptying the churches. The churches are bleeding out.
They are.
So I'm wondering, I'm asking, the bishops are like CEOs, okay? They're spiritual CEOs. I mean, don't they look at the reports, the people coming in versus the people leaving? I'm asking myself, we're all asking ourselves at this high-level meeting this weekend, saying, well, can't these guys see that the experiment has failed?
Big time.
This whole stand up, receive the hand.
And,
but you know what? I think a lot of them, we all agree that a lot of them are just here to destroy the church. They're inside. They are.
Inside
they're wolves
job.
In sheep's clothing. It's an inside job because they see that this is bleeding out the church. And instead of going back to the sacred tradition of the church, Terry, they're just digging their heels in, and they're continuing their failed policies, starting with the Los Angeles religious education liturgies.
Right.
If you want to see what I'm talking about the worst of modernism, go on the internet and type in Los Angeles religious education liturgies, and you'll see this is the failed experiment
That's
of the modernist.
That's right. I want to remind people that June 12th, we have a men's conference with Jess Romero and Eddie Chavez, and Bishop Strickland will be making a video appearance at that event. Also on the 11th, the Friday, we're going to have a fundraising dinner for our monthly donors, just to say thank you. And I want you all to consider going to our website, virginmostpowerfulradio.org, to sign up for that conference. Also, I have one more thing. May 15th, Evangelization for the Third Millennial, free virtual conference. I'm going to be sharing it on how to share your faith with anyone. This is the time we're not to stop evangelizing. We have to step our evangelization. And I'm going to give you my 35, 40 years of experience on that topic. It's free, but just sign up over at virginmostpowerfulradio.org. Jesse, your meeting that you had over the weekend, I want everybody to be praying for these organizations that you mentioned that were there, because they are all run by lay people. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah, there was priests there in support and giving us mass and
the
sacraments.
Sure.
But yeah, this is all lay run, Terry.
And what did Bishop Sheen say about who's going to save the church, Jess?
Well, he warned us. He said in 1974, he says that lay people will save the church.
Yep.
And he also said that lay people must teach priests and bishops how to be priests and bishops.
Yeah, that's what he said. So we're taking the orders from Bishop Sheen.
By the way, that's why he's not canonized for statements just like that.
You think?
Yeah.
So you had a great weekend. We want to ask our listeners again to continue to support us here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. If you're a monthly donor, you actually, at $25 a month, get all these recordings every month sent to you via computer to be formed in your faith, whether it's Dr. Scott Hahn, Jess Romero, Dr. Barber, Dr. Petrie, Jeff Cavins, all these great speakers, Alex Jones, Tim Staples. Yeah, if you want to join us, Become a monthly donor. Go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call us at 877-526-2151. Wrap it up, Brother Jess.
Well, I like to tell you, St. Jerome said,
yeah.
He says, it is rare to find a heretic that loves chastity.
Ain't that the truth?
Well so you'll find people that teach doctrinal error. They also teach error when it comes to sexual morality.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah. Well, St. Padre Pio says, pray, hope, and don't worry. Worry is useless. God is merciful, and God will hear our prayer. St. Peter says, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. How do you do that? Live in a state of grace. Don't live in a state of mortal sin. Get holy, remain holy, or die trying. Terry.
Be part of the resistance here in the sense of resisting modernism, resisting the New Age movement, and turn your life over to Jesus Christ, especially in the Holy Eucharist. Get the confession as soon as possible. Visit our Eucharistic King. May God richly bless you and full sheen ahead here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio.